Jared Doyle Show.
Very interesting and compelling piece by our guest, Anita Finley, author, actress, blogger. Her latest at epictimes.com. Ramifications of hashtag yes all women, hashtag not all men, in the wake of Elliot Rodgers' killing spree. Anita, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Good to be back with you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I read your article. I've read some other articles along this line that you have pointed me to, in particular Arthur Chu's article, the Jeopardy winner, at thedailybeast.com, Your Princess is in Another Castle, Misogyny, Entitlement, and Nerds. And it really goes in a lot of different directions where people seem to be, I don't want to say taking different positions on the tragedy in the wake of the mass murder in Santa Barbara. But I didn't know it was this complicated. Let me put it that way. You opened my eyes to areas of discussion about this that maybe on my radar they don't register. One in particular, you saying the misogynistic hatred of women.
Well, you know, Jerry, it's interesting. I've immersed myself in a lot of reporting about this and a lot of commentary, and certainly it's not something anybody wants to do, but it's been such a horrific incident that, this Elliot Rodger killed four men and two women and wounded 13 other people before killing himself. And the thing is that I think there's three prongs to this. One, you can say, is the mental illness prong, that we're failing in terms of dealing with mental illness in this country. And the second prong would be in the gun law enforcement issue or gun control where, you know, California, for instance, has some of the tightest gun laws in the country, and yet this guy who has mental problems could legally get three weapons. That shouldn't be. But the third prong, and something that at first reporters in this country were very quick to dismiss, and I think it's very important, is the kind of toxic misogyny that goes on in this country that is sort of institutionalized in our culture, in our media, in social media, and also via athletes' behavior. And what goes along with that is a kind of toxic masculinity. And that's something that, you know, I was addressing, and also that Arthur Chu very bravely addresses in his article at the Daily Beast. And, you know, respectfully, I really recommend that everybody read it, because, you know, he's talking about this nerd idea that you think, well, if I do everything right, you know, I have this idea that I'm going to get the girl. I mean, this is what you see on TV every day. I'm going to get this, you know, blonde January Jones, Charlize Theron type if I just, you know, I work hard enough. And when, you know, your princess is in another castle, there's all sorts of resentful stuff that happens. I mean, look at Rogers, his hateful 140-page manifesto. What Chu is saying is that I have had those same thoughts, that he and his friends have had those same kinds of thoughts. And the misogyny that is out there, it leads some people to assault women, to stalk them, to rape them, and at times to kill them. So what he's pointing out is, please, guys, don't look the other way. And, you know, what I was talking about in my article about the viral hashtag, for anybody who is not on Twitter and wasn't aware, as an offshoot to what the horror that happened on Friday at University of Santa Barbara, there was a hashtag, there was a Twitter reactive thing from men coming out saying, not all men, because certainly men don't want to be grouped in this category as if we're all monsters, and of course not. But a woman put out, yes, all women. That was her response, and that went viral, generating over a million tweets in less than 72 hours. In fact, there was a map showing the cloud bursts where it was showing up all over the world. It really is kind of amazing, because what women were trying to do was not blame men, but to share their own frustration, horror, and upset at the kinds of institutionalized reaction that they have to have in terms of navigating their own safety on a daily basis. If I go out at night by myself, for example, you know, where's my car? Do I have my keys out? Is my phone on? Is someone going to walk me? What am I wearing? Am I, you know, if I'm on the subway, I'm not going to wear a skirt. You know, this kind of a thing, as I wrote in my article, I've been one of the lucky ones to have avoided any assault, but certainly I've been flashed, groped, grabbed. You know, people have hollered all kinds of horrible stuff out at me, out the truck window, and, you know, somebody put their fist through a wall, 6 inches from my face. You know, it's like I know what those feelings are, that you grow up as a woman being hyper vigilant. So So I'm just saying that this is a three-pronged situation, and we cannot ignore the kind of institutionalized behavior we have where we treat women as things. These guys look at a woman as a trophy. That's what's ironic about Rogers. He looked at her, he looked at the women he wanted as something to put on his shelf. Why aren't they paying attention to me? But he didn't understand anything of her. Of this one woman or any of these women. And what Arthur Chu is pointing out in his Brave article is that a lot of guys are like this. We just look at the woman as status and to compete with other men and show your prowess over them. This is about status, meaning that you're a winner. And if not, we tell them, our society tells them that they're losers. And I think that that is part of the issue we cannot ignore.
Interesting. I mean, I give Arthur Chu a lot of credit for what he wrote, some of what he wrote here in his piece, Your Princess is Another Castle. I just want to read one part of a paragraph. He said, I've heard and seen these stories that those of you who follow the hashtag YesAllWomen hashtag on Twitter have seen. Women getting groped at cons, women getting vicious insults flung at them online, women getting stalked by creeps in college and told they should be flattered. He said, I've heard it from acquaintances, I've heard it from friends, I've heard it come out of my own mouth in moments of anger and weakness. And I do like the way he signs off on this. And basically he says, you know, just like Elliot Rodger, who needed to grow up, he said, we all do. So how do we do that, Anita? How do we grow up from this, what you write well about at your piece at Epoch Times? How do we grow out of this? I don't want to say, is hatred, misogynistic hatred of women, is that the right word? Or is it just a misogynistic attitude that too many men have towards women that we have to grow up from?
I think it can be both, but in answer to your question of how do we do that, first, we're doing it right now, and thank you for that, that you're talking to me about it. Just even having the willingness, that is why I wrote the article. That's why I was so excited about that hashtag, YesAllWomen, and a lot of men, I have to say, thank you so much for taking the time to read what those are or to investigate those articles. You know, women really appreciate it, because even if you're not one of the perpetrators, you know, we have to have the 94 and 6 mentality. There was a very interesting article about that I read, that it's 6% of the guys who are causing the problems, and 94% of you are the good guys. You know, and it's like the Ring the Bell campaign that they have going on in India to stop abuse of women, where you're just calling attention to something. You don't necessarily have to be the hero. Part of it is, that's why I was excited about that hashtag, is to start the conversation. You can't imagine how many men I've heard from in the past few days, oh my goodness, that's terrible. I had no idea that you ladies are going through this, or, you know, that this is something that you grew up with, something I wrote about in the article, is that, you know, my dad, as a way of protecting me, said, you walk fast down the street and make a mean face. This is what I was told since I was a child. Don't walk too near the buildings, and don't walk too near the curb, and don't do this, and don't do that. And it was all in the name of protecting me. And I've been fortunate, but to this day, I don't know whether it's my hypervigilance, luck, or a combination, or whatever. You know, I pray I don't have to find that out. But, you know, a lot of women do. And you know, someone is killed by a domestic partner three times a day. And there was something else that happened in the sports world. This is something else. Ray Rice of the Ravens, he beat his wife unconscious. He punched her out and then dragged her out of a casino elevator by her hair. And this was captured on tape.
On video.
And he just sort of apologized for it. And she apologized, oh, for any part I may have in it. This was all out on Twitter, as if all you need to do to wipe the slate clean, it's a public relations matter. As long as we're treating people like this, you know, this is going to get worse. So, you know, the way that we solve it, Jerry, is to do what we're doing. We're talking about it, and we're very gently and kindly saying, no, I'm not blaming you. I certainly don't blame you for anything.
Right.
You know, you're here open to all of this. So all I can do is extend my hand to other men and to other women to have a conversation. And in terms of, you know, I think it's something we also have to participate in as a society and complain about the kind of toxic crap we're fed in the media. That's part of it. And the other part is, look at school. It's like everyone's got their face in the darn iPhone all the time. You know, part of that is an isolation, I think.
Right.
I mean, do you wonder about that? If that's part of a contributing factor that people just have all of these toxic messages fed at them and not enough human interaction.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be spending the majority of your time on that website, PUAHate.com, pickupartisthate.com, then, you know, it does become a self-fulfilling. And just as a sidebar to that, I think this is where, you know, people who just shop one political cable channel or another, or read one political blog or another, or read one newspaper or another, they don't really get a good understanding of what's happening out there in the real world. And I guess if you immerse yourself in that PUAHate.com website, you would start to think that that is the 96% of the nation, not the 94% of the nation, not the 6% mentality that men have about women.
Exactly. Well, you know, there's so much that's prurient, that's sold on TV, that really makes you, you know, they airbrush everything and make you think, oh, and the nerdy guy, that's something else Arthur Chu talks about when you're watching The Big Bang Theory, that somehow magically, you know, this girl who wouldn't give you the time of day. But, you know, that's also, we have to talk to each other and encourage ourselves to get past packaging. And if you want something, you're not going to get it by looking at someone else as an object. And there are women who are into packaging, too. You know, men don't only have the monopoly on this. But I wanted to ask you something, Jerry, because you said something that was so interesting. You said, well, I didn't know this was such a complicated issue, and now I look at this article. Is there anything you would say that you read in the past couple of days, whether it's his article, something that made you look at it differently? Because if something made you look at it differently, then you know what? That's a really good recipe for what might make other men look at it differently.
Yeah, it was the article, in reading your article, Ramifications of Hashtag Yes All Women, Hashtag Not All Men in the Wake of Elliot Rodgers' Killing Spree, which you wrote and kindly posted up for us at epictimes.com. And then, you know, people read it, they start to think about it, they talk to other people about it. But, you know, I've come to know you as a smart, tough, intelligent, worldly kind of a person. And I didn't think that this kind of, I don't know, call them catcalls or, you know, whatever. I would think that you would be somebody that would just, through your family and the way you were raised and the business that you're in with the casting couch in Hollywood and all that, that this is something that wouldn't penetrate you, that your force fields were up to the point that no matter what people said to you or put your way, that you would just be able to slough it off and ignore it. But I guess what I have to ask you, if you don't mind answering, is as a woman, when guys do this guyish garbage and act in this misogynistic way, how does that feel? How does that get processed as a woman? Maybe the hopefully we don't have misogynistic guys listening to the program. I'm sure we have a couple that might not even know that they are. But before they decide to perpetrate this misogyny, they have to think about the person that it's directed at and how that person processes that. And as a woman, what does that do to you? How does that make you feel? How does that affect you?
Well, it changes, you know, it takes away my humanity for that moment. It may not, you know, I try to wipe it away so that I just throw it away. I don't pay any attention. But, you know, I'm walking in the middle of the city. I've been flashed a number of times. It's terrifying is what it is. You know, that a man exposes himself to me. This guy's twice my size. I don't know what he's going to do. I'm walking away. The first time that happened, I was 15 and living in New York. I'm sitting in a park, you know, doing a homework assignment, you know, in a public place. I mean, it was terrifying, and I jump away, and I got out of there, you know, and that's all that happened. But it's just, you know how many women, you know, think about how I have to renegotiate my day. This was one of the tweets that was posted, which some people it may take an affront to it, but I hope they don't. They said, you know, most of us guys were real nice. So look at it like a bowl of M&Ms. Well, only 10% of them are poison. We're just going to put those in the bowl. Now, how do I know which M&Ms are poison and which are not? So what it does is it creates a situation where I have to be hypervigilant in terms of it's not like I turn into some sort of a warrior, but I'm just walking through the city. I have to have eyes in the back of my head. I'm always having to be aware of my situation because I'm smaller, because, you know, it's like, what do I have to do? It's something that women have to negotiate as a part of our day. And part of those hashtags were young women too saying, geez, I'm in college now. I'm spending a lot of money to be here. I want to get an education. I can't walk out without being in PAX or carrying pepper spray. I mean, the right. White House has even gotten involved in this because there is an epidemic of this sort of thing. There were several gang rapes at UC Santa Barbara a couple of months before this horrible tragedy happened. So I guess that's what I'm saying, Jerry, is to the people need to find out, you know, what would you be open to in terms of hearing the message and understanding that even though, thank God, you know, you're not the person who would ever perpetrate that on somebody, don't be so quick to assume, oh, it's over there. This is something that affects all of us, and if we just remember, men and women, we're all in this together, and we're just trying to, you know, women, we're not trying to blame men by saying all this. We're trying to enlist men. We're trying to enjoin you and engage you and let you know, hey, look over here. Check out what's going on for me. Hey, what's going on for you? Why can't we communicate that? You know, why can't we open a dialogue both ways so that we can both look more human to each other?
I would have to say, I got about 45 seconds left. It's probably not fair to you, but you probably remember that place in New York when you were 15 years old, when that happened, where specifically you were, maybe even what you were wearing. So what might seem to some as, oh, that was a long time ago, get over it, it happens all the time, these are things that would live with you for the rest of your life in some way.
Well, of course. I mean, I have friends, you know, who were raped at knife point. It's like, for me, they're being flashed, it was nothing by comparison. But it's like, yes, you're absolutely right. These are things that you're victimizing someone, you're brutalizing them, it stays with you for the rest of your life. And even when you are in a situation where you are terrified, even for a short moment, and then you get away, yeah, it stays with you, and it makes you that much more fearful for next time, for everything you do.
Very interesting and eye-opening piece. Thank you, Anita Finley, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, all major book retailers, and read her piece at EpicTimes.com, Ramifications of Hashtag Yes All Women, Not All Men, in the Wake of Elliot Rogers' Killing Spree. Thank you, Anita. I appreciate it very much. Thank you
so much, Jerry. You're the best. Thank you for taking the time to talk about this.
My pleasure. We will do it again. Stick with us. We'll wrap it up when we get back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.